Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for special needs individuals in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this next segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Mark Brew from the Axis Dance Company. So tell me a little bit about the Axis Dance Company.
Axis Dance Company, we're just finishing celebrating our 30 years. Axis is a physically integrated dance company of dancers with and without disabilities. We are based in Oakland, California, and we are a repertory contemporary dance company. So we commission choreographers to create work on the company, as well as create work in-house as well. And I'm the new artistic director. I started in January last year. From my predecessor, Judith Smith, who was the director for 20 years. So it's a time of change at Axis.
So when you mention that performers with disabilities are welcome, how do you go about creating a modified program for them?
Well, the wonderful thing at Axis, you know, we do feel as part of our advocacy work to really create opportunities for disabled people and disabled artists to engage in dance, to fully hopefully realize their potential. And we do that in numerous ways. So we do that. We have a school program, an engagement program that goes into schools for assemblies. And the company of six dancers do the program, which educates the students on disability, also on dance and integration. And also accessibility, to how to make your school or the environment and the world that we live in more accessible for people with different abilities. So we do a lot of workshops as well in schools, and also community workshops, creative workshops, and also professional workshops for professional dancers. And also every year we host our summer intensive, which is a 12-day summer intensive program where people come from all around the world to study with us. And the program is in three modules. So we do, the first 3 days is site specific and improvisation work. The second module is choreography and performance. And the third module is our teacher training. So that happens every August in our base here in Oakland in California. And this year we're also doing our first ever choreo lab, which is a choreographic laboratory or incubator for emerging disabled choreographers. So I've chosen seven disabled choreographers to come and spend a week with us, and we have our six dancers as well as an ensemble extra dancers of 12, so 18 altogether, and the choreographers will get to work with the dancers to sort of plant the seed for their choreographic ideas, and will be mentored by myself and also my colleague Caroline Bowditch, who are both disabled choreographers, during that process. So throughout the year, we have a lot of engagement activities, but then we have these bigger programs that we run every year as well.
So how does the community typically respond when they realize it's an integrated program and you have people with disabilities and non-disabled side by side?
I think with performance, when people come to see us, I mean, it's one of those things it's really hard to explain the work that we do and how we do and how we integrate and how we work together. But once people see their work, you know, it all makes sense, and people are blown away about just the physicality and what we're able to do together. You know, I think it definitely is about the difference of people, of backgrounds, differences, gender, race, and how through our differences it builds our strength of unity together, and how we support each other and challenge each other as artists to create high quality contemporary dance work, which our audience, you know, are left moved, invigorated, and challenged in their own perceptions of how maybe they've perceived somebody with a disability, or also how they perceive dance. We definitely, you know, break the traditional perceptions around dance and disability. And as our mission states, you know, Access's mission is to change the face of dance and disability. And that's what we do through our performances and our, you know, engagement workshops and classes. And of course, our advocacy work for disabled people.
So in your time with Access, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
You know, it's the small things, it's the big things. You know, like going to a school and seeing these kids' face light up and having a kid say, wow, that's just like me. You know, like that recognition of being able, you know, fitting in, of seeing someone similar to them. I acquired my disability, you know, 21 years ago. And when I got back into dance, there wasn't anyone doing this type of thing, you know, that I knew of. So to have those role model moments are really powerful, especially for our next generation of kids and young people. Also, you know, another highlight has been, you know, our touring work and engaging with new audiences. So we tour around the US, but also internationally. And we've really been trying this last year to build our presence also in New York, at an organization called Gibney Dance. And at Gibney, you know, we've been going there, you know, a couple of times throughout the year. And we did our first performance season there last November, which was a real highlight to sort of be in New York City, and to bring our new work, and also under my leadership as well. So that was a real, successful moment as well.
So if you could send any message about the need for integration and equality in the performance world, what would you say?
Well, I sort of feel like our performance world, performance arts, needs to represent the world that we live in. And we live in a mixed world, you know, people of difference, you know, and I think embracing that difference, and showing what we can do together, to help change the world and hopefully make it a better place, at least in our arts world. You know, disabled people have a unique perspective and a unique voice, and it needs to be heard.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yep.
An integrated dance company. My friends, that's how it should be in all facets of life. For people with disabilities are simply part of the great tapestry of life. They're part of the community. And why is it we would assume their needs and their wants to be a part of the greater picture are any different than anyone else's? There may be this misconception in performing arts that people with disabilities have to move with appliances that can be slow and cumbersome, and it would just take away from the experience. However, that determination can't be made till you actually see them in a show. And I guarantee you, with the freedom and the energy they would be feeling out there, the last thing that's going to be on anyone's mind is what could be slowing them down, what could be awkward. Because, well, at one time it may have been true that disability movement and participation was an awkward, cumbersome thing. We're well past that point. There are devices that allow for quicker, more rapid movement. And that's not to say that every person with a disability is even going to use such. But the fact that these are choreographers, my friends, means that they're instructing others. They're sharing the benefits of their experience. And to have that experience, they must be doing something right. So, the question then becomes, can we enjoy the show? Can we enjoy seeing performers with disabilities up on stage? Yes, we can. Because dance, theater, like any art form, it's not a question of who created it or why so much as it is a question of how does this affect us? How does this move us? And do we enjoy it? Are we enriched for the experience? If you can say yes, then it shouldn't matter that somebody on stage might get around a little bit differently. For the fact is, they're just a performer doing what they love to do, just following what's in their heart, which is what any of us should be doing. Whether we have a disability or not, the human experience is to dream and to hope and to say, I want to be this in life. I want to do that. And the biggest limitations, my friends, are solely those we impose on ourselves. So, why don't we stop imposing them? Why don't we stop looking at the flaws in plans and see the reasons why things might work? And if a barrier is encountered, you work around it. And if you can't do it on your own, you ask for someone's experience, their insights. No two people are going to look at any situation exactly the same way. No two people are going to see a performance by Axis and let the spirit take them in exactly the same direction. But I maintain, you open yourself to seeing performances by people with disabilities and involving them, you'd be amazed at what they can create. And they're not going out of their way to do it, to send the message of, we have disabilities, therefore you should appreciate it solely because of that. No, they're doing it because they're choreographers, because they're performers, and because they want to enrich the art world. And is what any of us should be saying in our work. How can I make the world a little better today? If you can find an answer to that, you're on the right track. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Since 1982, ArtSight Inc. has been a non-profit, artists-run center dedicated to expanding the visibility of contemporary arts within our region. We are dedicated to advancing the professional presentation, promotion, and animation of contemporary art forms. Along with creating forums for critical dialogue, professional development, and cultural exchange, ArtSight presents guest artist lectures, workshops and residencies, film screenings, multidisciplinary performance events, and more. For more information about ArtSight and our upcoming events, visit artsight.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes athletic and recreational opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Mark Brew from the Axis Dance Company. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Scotty Martin, host of Walleye Wednesday. He'll be telling us a little bit about his ongoing support of the ICHA Fishing Derby. So tell me a little bit about your support of the ICHA Fishing Derby.
Well, my support extends far beyond the actual day. I like to spread the word of the kind of work that goes on there. I think it's absolutely remarkable the opportunity that they give kids and handicapable children when it comes to fishing and providing them a fishing opportunity such as the Detroit River. As I said, I am the MC this year. I'm very, very proud to be the MC this year. And I was the MC last year. It was a very successful event like it is every year. Pat Pagano and his army of volunteers, because I'll tell you, that event did not happen without the support of all the volunteers and, of course, the sponsors that helped fund it. It is absolutely a remarkable event, and I am so proud to have myself and CFN involved.
So how did you get involved with it to begin with?
Basically, inadvertently, through Italo Labignan, Italo got me in touch with Pat. Pat called me and basically told me that told me about the event, told me about what goes on, and if I would be interested in being involved. And as soon as I heard a little bit about it, because you don't have to hear too much about it, you immediately are compelled to want to help and show up and do what you can to help Pat and his army of volunteers.
So, in your time with the Derby, have there been any challenges in putting it together that you've seen?
Unfortunately, I don't see it built from the ground up. Usually I get there and all the stages and event landscape is put together. All the boats are put in place. All the rods are tied and set up and ready to go. So I don't see that part of it, but I can imagine it is a challenge because literally the park is empty when you first arrive at about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then all of a sudden by 9, it's like a carnival. It's incredible how quick it goes up. In terms of challenges, I would say the only thing I could think of in this day and age, of course, is liability. But, of course, they have good insurance people that are involved that help support and make it all happen. But to be honest with you, I don't see any challenges. I know it is, and it's a lot of work. But because they do such a great job organizing it, it doesn't appear to me that there are any challenges.
So, to look at the converse side of things, has there been any success story connected with the Derby that stands out for you?
For me, I would have to say just surely our involvement in it. I would have to say we did a Walleye Wednesday last year, basically profiling the event. And during my monologue in the middle of that Walleye Wednesday, it's no truer words have been spoken. You give the opportunity to make a kid smile when he doesn't have a lot to smile about. And to me, it happens every time I look at a child who holds up a fish. It just makes it all worthwhile. If that doesn't give you a warm feeling inside, I don't know what does.
So what do you see going forward? Do you think you'll continue your involvement?
I as long as this the good Lord above allows me to be able to get out of a chair and drive to that event, I will continue to help out and support in any way I can. And even if I can't get out of a chair, I will make sure that my support continues long into after I'm in the ground.
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for programs such as this, what would you say?
Wow. Well, this program, there's so much that is involved. There's so many aspects of it that make it such a great event. One of the greatest things that we need to do more of, in my opinion, when it comes to the fishing industry, is providing children, young anglers, the opportunity to fish. And we see in our industry that there seems to be a decline when it comes to youth anglers. And one of the key aspects of this event is getting younger people the opportunity to fish. However, it takes it to the next step because these are handy capable kids. That element right there is what sets it apart from a lot of the other youth angling events that happen throughout the province of Ontario. So, The town of Windsor should be so proud of the ICHA and as well as this fishing derby that, you know, it is a flagship to what goes on in your city, and you really should be proud.
So when you talk about the handy capable being involved in the fishing, is there any modified equipment that you've noticed that they use?
Nothing under the ordinary. Of course, they make it wheelchair accessible. You have each handicapable participant has, basically a marshal, whether it be a pro angler or just somebody in the fishing community or somebody from the community at large, helping each individual participant. So they go above and beyond to make sure that the experience for these kids is at the utmost.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Not a problem, Cam. Thanks very much.
It's true, my friends. Windsor is pioneering with the Derby. What the ICHA has done is quite remarkable. Just recognizing these young people should have the right to be involved in an outdoor activity like fishing. But
the really incredible thing is not just that it's happening, it's that the community's taking notice, that sponsors and people are rallying around to help make this happen. Italo Labignan, as was mentioned earlier, is the host of the Canadian Sport Fishing Show. He supports this work a very great deal, and honestly, I'm proud to have had the chance to interview him a couple of years ago. For the fact is, people in the public eye, such as he, they could just say, the work I'm doing, it's fine, it's great for me, it may reach an audience, but no. He's actually taking time not only to make an appearance, to show face, but to really get involved and to be a part of it. Truth is, disability policies, practices, and even those who represent them must go beyond just the public image. They must look and say, this is how the public views me, as this good, open, non-discriminating person. Am I really that? Do my ideals match my actions? And if the answer is yes, then you can count yourself among those who are genuinely making a difference in this community. But the truth is, for those in leadership, with an election coming, feel a need to weigh in on this a little bit, they may put together policies, try to reach out to people with disabilities. But do they know what really matters? Do they get involved, so to speak? Do they get to know what upgrades are really necessary? Or is it a matter of thinking we have all the answers and just arbitrarily doing a token act? Anyone who takes the time to get to know a person with a disability finds out their story sooner or later. They find out what's important to them, what their needs are, what their accomplishments are. The greatest minds, my friends, are very rarely those who think they have all the answers, but are in fact the ones who look beyond the obvious and dare to ask the questions. Can we do more? Is this really working? Is this something the public can get behind? The ICHA Derby is a stellar example of something the public can support, because everything from local restaurants to construction companies, they're all putting their support behind this. Why? Because they know it matters. That these people, these kids with disabilities, matter. Yeah, there's something special about them. Yeah, they might move, think, or see a little differently. But are they not somebody's child? Are they not going to grow up with the potential to be something greater? Are they not a human life entitled to some consideration? The answer is, yes, they are. The message we send them in childhood is something they'll carry with them all their lives. They are treated respectfully and as part of the community by our leaders, by our support systems, and even by those who just care enough to sign an autograph or two. If they are cared for and respected and valued, they will grow up to be strong, capable, potentialed people. However, if we overlook them in youth, they're going to get the message that it's okay to be overlooked, that it's okay to keep silent when you have an opinion or an idea that might change the world. We're only hurting ourselves by keeping our ears closed, you know. We're only shortchanging the future. And it's not our future to shortchange. It belongs to everybody. Children with disabilities, leaders with disabilities, people who support, people who care, even those who don't care yet. Their eyes can still be opened. They can still come to understand that regardless of how a person thinks, speaks, or moves, they're still a potential human being. Prejudice is what holds us back as a people, my friends. But also, it's simply fog, a lack of understanding, I think. And once you see through the illusion, you don't go back, nor should you. Progress must always be made. And as I've said many times before, if it's something relatable, if it's something accessible, people are probably going to take better notice of it. Performance dance, or a fishing derby, a sporting event, an art gallery opening, what have you. If people with disabilities are made to be a part of it, maybe inclusion will finally cease to be an afterthought. Maybe someday people will simply be included because they're included, because they're people. This is as it should be. You know, it's funny, folks. Even a moment in time has the power to change everything for a person with a disability. For a child coming out to a derby, like what the ICHA is doing, could potentially be the first time such a child ever realized there's somebody like them. There's a shared experience. They're not facing everything alone. That can be an eye-opening thing. And if they're fishing alongside a friend of theirs, sharing a moment, creating a bond, that stays with them. Because they'll look back on that day and they'll say, yeah, that was the day I met Billy or the day I met Sally. And, well, that friendship sticks with you. That sense of commonality. And the realization that not only are you not the only one, but you're also someone who can contribute as a friend, and eventually a colleague, to others with disabilities. Every voice counts, my friends. Every voice in the chorus. No matter what the condition is, there's always hope. There's always the potential for growth. And for any member of quote-unquote able-bodied society, there's always hope for eye-opening. There's always hope that the mind will expand. That such a person need not be locked into the precept that I have all the answers or this is impossible. Those walls of sand, they're not designed to hold up. Many times they don't. Spend enough time around a person with a disability, you realize very quickly they're just one of the guys. They're part of the equation. If you're someone with the story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, the numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear your stories, folks. Truth of the matter is, the ICHA Fishing Derby, it's grown from a very small event to something just amazing to see. At last year's, I was absolutely floored when I looked around and I saw the people in costumes, the inflatables, the tents, but most of all, these kids just enjoying themselves, realizing not only can they contribute to society, but they can have some fun in the process. They don't need to spend every minute of every day thinking about the limitations we as a society so often put on them. Let them have fun now and then. Take a day and enjoy yourself. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.